This year, as a schus refuah shalema for our very dear Yitzi Mendel. His name is Yitzchak Ben Sion Ben Shena Mendel Yakova. As Hashem should have a refuah shalema, and he should be back here with us soon. Okay, we were speaking about in the last perek about machlas ayeshus, people that are balei gaiva, either if they have episode reason to be balei gaiva. There's even people walking around that are balei gaiva and they have absolutely no reason to be balei gaivas. It's like those are, you know, sometimes the worst. Like, you know, people are all like, one time there was a chassid that went to the Rebbe and he's like, Rebbe, what should I do that when I daven for the yomid, I have so much gaiva that I daven so beautifully? The Rebbe said, just turn around and you'll see everyone else just has a different opinion. It's like, you know, like some people, they're bali gaiva and they're like, they think everyone's loving their davening and people are like, you know, not. But then there's bali gaiva, people that do have a nice voice and they're, it's all gaiva, it's all wrong, it's all. So a person has to be able to get a handle on his gaiva. That's one thing that we're speaking about. It's a terrible machala. And now we're going to go, it seems to be almost like we're going to go a 180 in the other direction. And we're going to speak about now something called machlas hashiflus hameruma vitrufaisa. Shiflus is when a person has like this lowness. He's like, shiflus is seems to be the opposite of gaiva. And we're going to talk about that. And in truth, we're going to see that the two of them really come from the same shayrish. Both of them really come from the same source, how a person can have, because when a person feels like he's got to like tell everyone about how cool he is or how rich he is, it's usually because he feels a certain degree of insecurity. Why are you so insecure? Why does everyone have to know about it? Because he doesn't feel good or comfortable with himself or good about himself. So therefore, they do have a similar source, but at the same time, we said a person has to work on the one hand, being a person being humble, on the other hand, being self-confident, and that is healthy. Self-confidence is a very healthy thing. So, how does a person balance that? How does a person balance? Because it's very challenging. A person sometimes will be working so much on his anava. We said have a ma'od ma'od shval ruach, and then it won't allow him to accomplish what he has to accomplish. You know, in the Sefer Choyves Halvavos, in the introduction, he writes that he struggled with himself. Should I write the Sefer? Should I not write the Sefer? Who am I to write the Sefer? Is it a good thing? Does the Klal Yisrael need the Sefer? And he struggled with himself for a while. He writes, can I come out with the Sefer or not? Till finally he said, you know, I'm doing it. And he wrote the Sefer. But so if he would not have written the Sefer, so it would have been a loss for Klal Yisrael. But he was saying, who am I to write such a Sefer? So how does a person have a healthy amount of self-confidence and at the same time not become a Baal Gaiva? And I think that perhaps the practical advice is as follows. We are familiar with the idea that a person is supposed to have two pockets. I think it's from Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. You're supposed to have two pockets. In one pocket, it's supposed to say, Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam. In the other pocket, it's supposed to say, Anochi Ofer Ve'efer. Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam is obviously self-confidence. It's about importance. That's how important I am. Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam. The other one is Anochi Ofer Ve'efer. I'm nothing. I'm nobody. So which one, and a person has to know when to put his hand into each pocket. When are you supposed to put your hand in each pocket? So I think the practical eight says as follows. When things are going good, when a person is being successful, so then a person is supposed to say, Anochi Ofer Ve'efer. Supposed to keep yourself, a person is supposed to keep himself in check. When things are challenging, when he faces challenges and doubts, then a person is supposed to say, Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam. When the person feels like he's being successful, things are going well, right? He gets back 100 on his test, or he just scored the winning run, or whatever it might be. Anochi Ofer Ve'efer. When a person has faced with a challenge, or things are not going so well, or he's a little bit intimidated by what's happening in front of him, Then he has to say Bishvili. Then he puts his hand in the Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam pocket. It's a story about Ramot Cheshvab. Ramot Cheshvab was the Mashkiach when I was in Yeshiva Pesach. He was our Mashkiach. He was a holy Jew, Ramot Cheshvab. Very, very holy Jew. Okay, there's lots of stories about him. Maybe even Elio Anovi. Some people, the family was suspects that he had Gilui Elio Anovi. You're talking about a really holy Jew. Very, very holy Jew. He was in common at Yeshiva by Rav Bochber. He happens to be a very successful Talmud. There's a sefer called Yoinis Elam. He's a Talmud of Rav Bochber, and the Ksavim are from Ramot Cheshvab from the sefer Yoinis Elam. He was considered to be one of the better Talmidim in Kamenitz. He ended up becoming a Mashkiach. It's a whole story how that happened. He had a dream, and his Rebbe came to him in a dream on Purim. He used to tell over the story always on Purim every year. Kitzer. Whenever Ramotcha was a bachar, when he was a bachar, he used to always have his hand in his pocket. They told us over at his Levaya. He always had his hand in his pocket. Whenever he was talking to the Olam and learning, he had his hand in his pocket. And it was clear they had something in his pocket that he was holding. And no one knew what he had in his pocket. So one of the bachar was curious. Like, what does he have in his, what's going on in his pocket? So he got up one morning early, before Ramotcha. Ramotcha was usually the first one in the base medrash. He got up early and he trailed him. And he saw that before Motzcha went into the base medrash, he reached down and he picked up, scooped up a pile of dirt and he put it in his pocket. Because when he's speaking and learning, and Motzcha was very successful in learning and people were like impressed with him, he had his hand in his pocket. Remember, Anochi Ofer Ve'efer. Want to remind himself not to have gaiva. And a person, when things are going well like that, when he's doing things that he's good at, he has to temper himself. Remind himself, Anochi Ofer Ve'efer. But on the other hand, a person also has to have a certain degree of confidence, which is Adarabah, Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam. These two midos, I believe, are two midos which are found by Avraham and by Yaakov Avinu. Avraham and Yaakov. Avraham Avinu is the one who said, Anochi Ofer Ve'efer. He said it. Those are his words. It's a quote. When he was talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu about Sdoim, and he was pleading with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Anochi Ofer Ve'efer, I'm nothing. And Ofer Ve'efer, the Mefarshim say, Ofer isn't anything, Efer won't be anything, Ofer has potential, Efer is done. He's like saying, I'm nothing, I'm zero, never was, never will be, I'm a zero. Anochi Ofer Ve'efer. Yaakov Avinu, we see different. Yaakov Avinu, in many different Mekoymas, Yaakov Avinu spoke about his greatness. Yaakov Avinu said, Medrash, Atah Elokabe Elyoinim V'ani Elokabe Tachtoinim. That's like unbelievable. It needs interpretation. You're God up there, I'm God down here. That's like, what does that mean exactly? It clearly doesn't mean, you know, but something. It means something. Yaakov Avinu was like saying, I'm Ani Elokabe Tachtoinim. I am it. I'm it down here. That was Yaakov Avinu. And the reason is because as follows, Avraham Avinu basically, his life was relatively smooth. Avraham Avinu lived through chesed. That's why Avraham Avinu was mesakin tefilas shachris. Morning, everything went smooth for Avraham Avinu, relatively. Things were relatively good for him. That's why Avraham Avinu's minas chesed, ava, goodness. Everything is bright, cheery. Avraham Avinu's, he's always happy. Right, Avraham Avinu was always having that type of, that was Avraham Avinu's, his life, his legacy, was Ahava. Yaakov Avinu was Masakin Tefilas Arvis. Arvis is darkness. Yaakov Avinu from the day he was, before the day he was born, his brother wanted to kill him. And then he was run away, and then he had to deal with Lavan, and then he had to deal with Yosef, and he had to deal with, and Yaakov Avinu had a hard time. He even said in the end of his life, I had a rough time. Paro said to him, like, what's going on? He said, I had a rough life. So when a person feels like things are going good, that's Avraham Avinu, temper yourself. Anochi Ofer Ve'efer. Okay? When a person feels like he's having challenges, like Yaakov Avinu, build yourself. A person has to say, Ani Elokav Etachtoinim Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam, the whole world was created for me, and I'm capable, and I could overcome this nisayon, and I'm bigger than this, and I'm better than this. And build yourself. That's how a person has to try to figure out how to reach into which pocket. So now we're up to the seventh perek. The seventh perek is Machlos Hashiflus Hamiruma Utrufaisa. Machlos Hashiflus is when a person has We said the Mishnah Pekavah says Moed Moed Shfal Ruach, but this is Shiflas HaMeruma. Meruma means that it's really tricking you. It's inaccurate. It's false. Uchufais and how to fix it. Here he goes. Talmud Yisrael says the Heilige Piyasetzna. Al Tachshoiv Shebidvareinu Bekuntris Hazeh. Don't think with our words in this Kuntris. Reitzimanu Liftorcha Kvar Milul Moed Bigamara. You think that we want to pot you up? This is like the book of Midos. This is not the book of Midos. Why do you think that this book is going to take over for the Gemara? That you're not going to have to learn Gemara or anything like that? It's not. You're not going to learn Gemara, Medrash, Shulchan Aruch, Vashar Sifrei HaKadoshim, Amorim Lanu Derech HaKadosh, Oyel Hashem, Hasmi LaHazkir. Don't even think that. That's not what this book is. It's a handbook and it's important. Adraba, Kavanaseinu, Rak Lisakin Es Atzmecha. We just want to get you ready. This is all just a preface. This is just an intro. That now you can be ma'ayin in all these svarim, viliv loyas divrayim, and you should be able to absorb their words, akdoishim, el nafshecha ve'el gufecha. You can process it into your nefesh, into your guf. V'chol ha'verecha, yartivu min ha'mayin, and all of your limbs should become moist. From the Mayan, from the spring, Hayotzi mi beis Hashem, mi bein heichal haKodesh. I'm just trying to get you ready for what you have to do for your job. The job is Musar, the job is Halacha, the job is Gemara. This all this stuff. What we're doing right here is all it is just trying to make the building blocks, foundations. And then a person should be able to soak up that then now a person feels ready to everything he could do and learn in yeshiva. L'chein, einanu matikim bazes kol divrei chachameinu zecharno levracha. We're not over here to be matik, is to quote all of the words of chachameinu. Hashulchan aruch, svar makdoishim, binyone hanhoga, how a person's supposed to act. Ki psuchim heim, all the svar are open. V'chol mi shechoshka nafshoi liyos karev el mishu tahor. Anyone that has a desire to come close el mishu tahor v'li matzei bein mishar savakdish atzadikim atahirim mitoichem yilmat. You want? Just learn the svarim. They're there. They're on the shelf. They're accessible. Rak es hashayach le'inyoneinu natik. Where there's certain things that we feel, that the Rebbe feels are very important. They're so fundamental. They're the basics. That is going to teach us the basics. But after that, you can't stop with that. You have to build on that. Here goes. Yisro b'shulchan aruch. V'lo yisbayish mipnei pnei adam hamaligin alav ba'avoydas Hashem yisbarach. Shulchan aruch, it says, one should not be embarrassed in front of people that make fun of him in his avoydas Hashem yisbarach ad kan l'shaynoi ha'kodesh. A person should not be embarrassed. A lot of times, a person wants to do something, and he gets embarrassed. He's embarrassed. He's afraid of what other people are going to say. And sometimes people do say things. People say things to him. Even gdoila me'avne hanegef, a big stone, one of the biggest obstacles, habusha hazois. This is a major obstacle. A person is embarrassed. He's afraid of what people are going to say. He doesn't feel like he can do what he wants to do. He doesn't feel like he's in control. He doesn't have his own das, his own rishus. He's pushed and he's pulled by people outside of him. He's afraid someone's going to make fun of him. So there's a guy, he wants to buy Nagelwasser because he feels like, you know, that would be a nice thing. I should be able to have wash Nagelwasser at my bed, maybe it'll help me. And he's afraid his roommates are going to start calling him Frummy or something like that. Or he wants to put on a hat, and he's afraid that what people are going to say, and people are going to, or he wants to stop listening to a certain type of music, and he's afraid people are going to start bashing him. And Pasha can't do what he wants to do because he's afraid of what other people are going to say. Ubishvil ze mevatel atzmoi ledaitoi rak efi ashayita beinav yase. He doesn't do what he wants to do. Whatever other people are going to be happy with, that's what he's going to do. There's a famous saying from the Kutzker, which maybe you've heard. The Kutzker said, if I am me, because you are you, and you are you, because I am me, then I'm not me, and you're not you. But if I am me because I am me, and you are you because you are you, then you are you and I am me. If I am me because you are you, I'm just me because of you, then I'm not me. I'm just trying to do what's going to make you happy. And the Kutzker very much pushed people to be emes, be real. Be what you feel you should be. And a lot of times people are just intimidated by other people. V'dover toif yimona milasos. And there's a lot of good things that we could do, and we won't do them because we're embarrassed. There was a great scientist by the name of Albert Einstein. And Albert Einstein said that his greatest discovery he will never get credit for because he was embarrassed of what his friends would say. Albert Einstein discovered what's called the expanding universe theory, which is that the universe is getting bigger. Now, all scientists believed at the time that the universe is a constant. It's been there for eternity. Now, if it's getting bigger, that means that last year it was smaller, and the year before that it was smaller, and the year before that it was smaller, which would mean that some time ago there was no universe, which means that there was a creation. That means that there was a Genesis. And he was not prepared to say that in public because he was afraid of what people would say to him. And then it became a scientific fact, and now it just is. But he says, I lost the opportunity because I was afraid. I was afraid to say it. It's an unbelievable medrash. The medrash says Rabbi Akiva was having conversation with his wife. His future wife, I don't know when this happened, they were married already or not, she said to him, he was 40 years old, and he knew nothing. He knew really nothing. And she said to him, why don't you go learn? At 40? What, I'm going to go learn at 40? Says Rabbi Akiva, this is the Medrash, everyone's going to laugh at me. Oh, all of a sudden, you're having like a midlife crisis, you're trying to be so from on us, then you're going to yeshiva. He said, everyone's going to make fun of me. Rabbi Akiva was afraid of what people were going to say, and he was willing to give up because people are going to talk about me. It's going to be uncomfortable. So his wife said to him, and there's a whole interesting medrash, she took a camel, she started planting stuff on the camel, on the humps of the camel. She brought it to the market, and everyone was like, looking at it, that's the strangest camel I ever saw in my life. But 3 days later, they've seen it for 3 days already, no one's looking. She said, look, after a few days, no one cares anymore. You know what I mean? So, okay, they'll make fun of you for a couple of days. After that, they'll ignore you. She convinced him. But could you imagine that we could have lost Rabbi Akiva? When Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemayim, and Moshe Rabbeinu saw Rabbi Akiva's neshama, Moshe Rabbeinu said, why am I giving the Torah? He should give them the Torah. Rabbi Akiva was the greatest. The neshama, it's not shayach what we got from Rabbi Akiva. And we almost lost it. Why? I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed of my friends, Rabbi Akiva. So my friends, I'm pretty confident that we have some really special neshamas in this room. Special people. And sometimes people are just embarrassed. They're just embarrassed of what other people are going to say about them. They're afraid their friends are going to talk. And they can't live by their convictions. And that would be a terrible shame. It would be a terrible shame. There was a bachur once in this yeshiva told me the following story. He was Baruch Hashem, a bachur who was doing a lot of shteiging. But he was part of the cool chevra. See, back in the day, the cool chevra was in room 10. Room 10 was the cool chevra room. That was the room. That was like the cool room. Yaakov Kamer thinks it's still the cool room. Yesh lachkar. That was like the cool room, and he was in the cool room. He was in the cool room. I don't know if Reb Shai remembers the story, or you remember room 10 being the cool room. That was the cool room. He was in the room. This is going back many years, and he told me this story. He said he decided that he wants to wear his tzitzis out. He wants to wear his tzitzis out. He feels that it's the right thing to do for him, where he's holding. And he's going to put on his tzitzis. He hasn't done it for many, many years, probably since, before high school or something like that, since he got cool, stopped wearing his tzitzis out. But he decided he feels it's time to wear his tzitzis out. So he took out his tzitzis, and he's standing by room 10 inside with his hand on the door handle. And he's preparing himself to walk outside in the hall. And everyone's going to see that he's got his tzitzis out. He's preparing to come out of the closet now for the first time. Here it is. He's going to do it. And he's standing there, and he's mentally preparing himself for all of the comments and the jokes. And he didn't do it. He said, I can't do it. I just can't do it. And he put his tzitzis back in his pants, and he just said, I can't face that. It's too painful. It's too much. Now, Baruch Hashem, he's an exceptional young man learning in Kollel and really gives me a tremendous amount of nachas. But there are times when it's just your friends just can create so much pressure on you that a person can't do what he has to do. I'll tell you a story about my father, Zolzayin Gesund. I just verified it on the phone before we got here. My father grew up in America, you know, like a real American community, American family, and my father was in public school. He went to public school, and he had like an hour a week of Hebrew studies, Sach HaKol. That was about it. But from the age of a little kid, he loved Torah. He loved learning. He loved hearing about it. So the rabbi who used to do Hebrew school, Sunday school, whatever it was called, Sunday school, called a meeting with my grandmother and told my grandmother that this boy is different than all the other boys. This boy is different. This boy needs to be in a yeshiva. This boy has to go to yeshiva. So my grandmother, who was not, you know, so much affiliated or anything like that, she said, look, I'm not opposed. If you take care of it, you know, I'm okay with it. If you decide to go to yeshiva, fine. You get him into a yeshiva. You know, she wasn't resistant. She was, okay, that's what you say, fine. She was always very proud of my father. Because when this rabbi arranged what he arranged, he told my father, I'll see you in the rabbinate, young man. I'm going to see you in the rabbinate. My father became a rabbi. Baruch Hashem. But there was a problem, because they got him. He got to the school, he applied to the school, and the school said, look, he's in seventh grade, but he has no Jewish education. All these other boys have been in yeshiva. He's holding by fourth grade education. So if he wants to come to the yeshiva, he has to go to fourth grade. My father was in seventh grade in English, fourth grade in Hebrew. Now my father is around 6'6", and even in seventh grade, he was the tallest kid in seventh grade. So he was around three times as tall as the fourth graders. They sat in those little desks, you know those desks? He said, I couldn't get myself in the desk, because you can imagine a kid, he's bar mitzvah. My father's already bar mitzvah. He's bar mitzvah, and he's sitting with these little pipsqueaks. But a person could say, this is embarrassing. But if something is important to you, and you have enough courage, so then you do it. Because you don't care what anyone else says. And Rabbi Kiva got the encouragement from his wife to do it. I don't care what anyone else says. And we could lose out on so many precious neshamas because people are just intimidated. You know, Purim is an amazing day. There's amazing things a person can do on Purim. And we spoke about it at Shalosh Shudas. Purim is a time for a person to really try to get in touch with who he really is, Nichnas Yayin Yatzah Soid, in a way that you can't even do on Yom Kippur, you could do on Purim. The only difference is that on Yom Kippur, there's no Yetzirah. On Purim, there's Yetzirah. What's the Yetzirah? Yetzirah is all the guys that make fun of people that are like, get all weepy on Purim. You know the people that make fun of them? Want to learn. You make fun of everyone. Like, what are you being so real for? Why don't you be like stupid like me and just get drunk and act funny? Like, that's the Yetzirah right there. It's like, don't allow yourself to have a genuine moment. Don't allow yourself to express what you want from your life, where you want to be, because that's what Purim can do for you. But the Yetzer Hara is trying to stop us. He's trying to make us like feel like we're like uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable to say, to like express yourself on Purim, if they're in this culture of like, like so we have to try, every person in his own way. And by the way, I never was one of those Purim criers. That's just not my thing. It's not my thing. I'm one of the Purim like be very happy type of person. You know, like, you know, that type of thing. As those who've been here in yeshiva for a while know, that's pretty much. But I respect that this is where a person's trying to express his neshama. So let him be. Let him do it. That's where he's at. That's his avoida right now in Purim. And a person has to try to do this. Ki efshar yischak alav shcheinoy. Maybe his neighbor is going to laugh at him. Now he's going to have to like, this guy's going to laugh at me, that guy's going to laugh at me, the other guy's going to laugh at me. I have a person the whole day is trying to figure out like how to like make everyone happy with him, and he's at the end of the day like, what about who you are? Oy vavoy, the people that they basically place their nefesh and their guf in the hands of other people, in the opinions of other people that are nishchasim. Kulam moishlim alav. Everyone controls him. Virak hu ein lo shum shlita al atzmai besaray. He has no control over himself at all. Machala meusa hi habusha. This is a machala meusa. It's like it's a little bit disgusting. This embarrassment and other people making fun of him. Asher reishisa v'yisoida. Where does it come from? Yaldus v'katnos. It comes from immaturity. Immaturity. Children always like want to see what everyone else is doing. Hayeled b'katnuso yodeya she'in lo das la'atzmo. Child knows he doesn't know. So therefore, Misragulu Limdoides called Devar Manige Vidas Gudela Masaiva Maisai. They just wants to see everyone else. Like if someone, you know, if you ever make a joke at the table and there's like adults, everyone's laughing, the kids will laugh also, even though they have no clue what's so funny. Like my kids at little ages, they love jokes. They have no clue what the joke is. They just know it's funny, so they're all laughing. Why? Because all the adults are laughing. This has to be funny. So we do what the adults do. That's the way kids are. If I do this, then it's gonna be good in their eyes. If I do this, they're gonna laugh at me. And some people they just stay that way when they get older. All they're trying to do is see what other people are gonna respond. They more care about everyone else than about what's really good. And there's one of the things that happens sometimes when you're in a tzibur, in a community, in a yeshiva, whatever it is. People say, like, if let's say there's a place that's like has a questionable hechsher. What do you want from your Rebbe? Everybody eats there. Everybody. Why does it make a difference what everybody's doing? Do you have your own moral compass? Do you care what's right and what's wrong? Everybody's. Or, Rebbe, nobody's by davening. Nobody's in Muslim. Nobody. So our whole life is basically, what do you want for me? It's what everybody and nobody. If your whole life is what everybody is, then you are nobody. You're no one. Like, who are you? Like, does it make a difference what everyone else is doing? Do what you think you're supposed to be doing. Do what you know is right. So who cares about the fact that other people are going here, doing that, not doing this? I know what I'm supposed to be doing, and I'm going to be real about it. Because I am an individual. And every person has that inside of themselves. A person doesn't have to care. That's where a person has to access the strength of character. That's where a person has to access the confidence of the importance of who you are and what you can do. Bachar Yisrael, we'll end with this. Shema noas haklal hazeh v'inyan hazeh. I want to tell you a rule in this inyan. V'chein b'chol anyonim. Im loy tis'ameitz v'tis'chazek b'chol koichocho l'rachek u'l'sharesh mimcho kol midara v'shtus. If you don't work now when you're young to try to fix this, use all of your strength to push this away, to uproot it, to get rid of this shtus, and it'll stay with you forever. If your yetzer is going to try to be mefat to you, he's trying to try to like convince you, why do you have to work on yourself when you're young? That's why you have all these chesroinas, because you're still young. When you get older, when you get older, you get more mature, and then it's going to happen. Have rachmanis on yourself and don't listen. Kirak hashonim. The years will move on and the person's not going to change. There's people, they're adults, even there are people that are already old in their years. They're still children playing with their toys. When we're little, our toys are little toys. We get bigger, we have bigger toys. And the one who dies with the most toys wins the game. So I have lots of toys. When I'm older, I'm going to do it next month. I'm going to do it next year. I'm going to do it eventually. So Bachru told me that he heard Mashkiach was speaking about the pathetic boys that have been in Eretz Yisrael already for 3 years and they're still going to shuk and going to town. And it was a bacha who said that he remembered that when he was in first year, he was thinking, yeah, they're pathetic. And then he realized, wait a second, I'm in third year and I'm still there. It hit him like a ton of bricks. You can't wait. You can't wait. Nothing's going to change. Nothing's going to change. You think Yetzer is going away? He's not going away. If a person has challenges and things he has to deal with, he needs to deal with them now. Not tomorrow. Not next week. Not next zman. Tonight. And a person has to challenge himself and say, I am not going to be pulled anywhere that I do not think I belong. Not by my friends. Not by my siblings. Not by anything. I'm going to stand firm in what I believe in. And it'll be a challenge. But great things come from people that step up with challenges. And we go back to Avram Avinu. It's called Avram HaIvri. The whole world on one side. He's doing his own thing. I don't care what everyone else is doing. Everyone else can do their stupidity with their Avodah Zarah and all their nuts. I'm not doing that. He stood up to everyone. And we're all that way. And Akiva, who when he was 40 years old and he was in Am Haaretz and people were going to make fun of him, he stood up to them. And every one of us can do the same thing. And now's the time. Beis Hashem Asiyata Deshmaya. We all bring out all the koichos that we have. There's tremendous, tremendous koichos in this room. And it's Bifrat going to be a challenge. We're now going into a tkufa where there's a challenge. Bein Hazmanim, we're not in our structure. We have it. So let's practice. Let's get ready, Rabbi Yisrael Purim. We're going to bring out all of our koichos, everything a person wants, all his sheifas, all of his desires, everything he wants to daven for, everything he wants to accomplish. Beis Hashem, we should be zoicha, Kodesh Baruch Hu, kol poshet yad, nois l'moshe, listen and should makabal all of our tefillos.